talks about Luzchus Tatsuf, and Dabar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabar Arom, Yal Marzo, Elo Ba Luzchus, and Erosom Wolf and Amador, Yehir Shivath and Eros. Speak to Aaron, and you'll say to him, when you light up the candles, in toward the face of the menorah, you should light up those seven candles. So the very first Rashi, everybody knows this name, it's Rashi. It says, "Lamed is called Parsha Menorah, the Parsha Nesiim." Why the Nesiim, when they brought their korbanos over there in last week's Parsha, why is the Parsha the Menorah right next to it? The Mishnah show raw Aaron Chanukas and Nesiim when he saw the dedication of the Nesiim and what they gave their korbanos. Choshal la'az daito, he had chalishas adasi, felt bad. Shloha yimayim b'Chanukah that he wasn't with them in dedicating to the base of Mikdash. Lohuv lo shifto, neither him nor his shevet. Oh, but Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Chayecha, I swear to you, Shalcha gedola mishalahem, your lot is greater than theirs. Sha'ata madliko major than theirs, because you light up and you bring the candles, and therefore it's greater than anything else." Oh, so nice to see you. Okay, so what's going on? What's this line over here that the menorah is greater? First of all, why is the menorah greater? That's first of all. Second of all, the Nesiim brought korbanos. He's lighting a candle. What's the, where all of a sudden that's going to be better for him? He's bringing those korbanos every day. From then on, the Kohanim and Aaron's kids are going to be the people bringing these types of korbanos. The Nesiim are never going to do it ever again. It's never going to be done by a Nasi. So what's the big deal that all of a sudden he's okay with sitting there and saying, "Oh, it's fine, I'll just get a menorah and that's perfectly fine"? What is it? What? I guess you're right. So why would he have to be convinced by Kadosh Baruch Hu with the menorah and say, "Oh, now everything's fine"? Why is the menorah any better? So the Ramban brings from Rabbeinu Nisim, it's a famous pshat about Hanukkah. I'm not going to go into that pshat this year, but regarding Hanukkah, that Aaron would have a new dedication to the Beis HaMikdash, it would be during the times of Hanukkah, and it would be there. Okay, I understand that. But how does that help Aaron? And what does the menorah mean? Okay, so over the past 5 weeks, I think we've really gone through the avoda of the Kohanim, the service of the Kohanim, what the Kohanim have to do. You have to keep this in your head. The idea of what the Kohanim do is to spread Ruchnius to this world, to bring Ruchnius down and bring Kiddusha down into our world. Birchas Kohanim, when the Kohanim do Birchas Kohanim, they put their hands out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down through their hands onto Klal Yisrael. If he wouldn't put out his hands, Klal Yisrael wouldn't get that Kiddusha. He wouldn't be able to bring down the Kiddusha. The only person who can do that is a Kohen. And he does that through bringing it down from Shemayim and spreading it out to the Aretz, spreading it out to everybody there. So too, something else that they do, a Korban. What does he do when it comes to a Korban? He brings down an Ish from Shemayim. An Ish comes down from Shemayim and he makes it happen in order for the Korban to be brought up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that brings down that age, that brings everything down to him. Because the point for a coin, of what a coin is supposed to do, is anybody here a coin? Lo's not here yet. The point of a coin is to be able to bring down that Kedusha, the Shekhinah, down on Klal Yisrael for it to be with them forever. Said to Shemi Shmuel, but he was also the head of the Levium. He not only was he a coin, he was the head of Levium as well. The Levium have a totally different job. The two jobs that the Levium had, aside from carrying, which is only there at the time in the Midbar, two things that they did was singing and watching. Real hard jobs there.
Washing or watching?
Watching. Watching. W-A-T-C-H-I-N-G. In other words, being the showman for the Beis HaMikdash.
Got mixed up over the years and turned into washing.
Turned into washing. Exactly. Washing off the Kohen sand. That's not bad. Not bad, actually. But those are the two things that they have to do, to be shown there and to sing. The point behind that is in order to lift up the people down here to Shemayim. The exact opposite of the Kohen. The Kohen brings Shemayim down to the Aretz. The Levium try to bring people up through their song and to make them feel the Kedusha that's within them, to make them feel that Kedusha. They take the Aretz and bring it to Shemayim. The Kohanim do the exact opposite. That's the reason why Levium serve publicly. Levium's song is in front of everybody. Everybody hears the song. Levium's Shmira is in front of everybody. But the Kohanim, when the Kohanim are doing their Avoda, in a special place. Sometimes it's outside the Mizbeach, but nobody else is allowed to be there. It's in the Kodesh. They light up the candles, they do the Mizbeach HaKedoshim. The Kodesh HaKedoshim is extremely private. It tells you the inherent Kedusha, the inherent nature of what they're trying to do. Something more Kadosh is more private. Something less Kadosh can be done publicly. So the point of what a Levi is doing versus a Kohen is Levium do something publicly, because they're trying to bring out the people, everybody there, bring them up, while the Kohen is trying to get that Kedusha to come down. To do that, you need to be a little bit more private. You got to save yourself a little bit more in order to keep it away. So, what did Aaron say? Aaron saw the Nesiim do something for Klal Yisrael, trying to lift up the spirits of Klal Yisrael by bringing korbanos. They weren't bringing the Eish down themselves, by bringing korbanos, so that the Bnei Yisrael would feel like they were being brought to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Several of them do that. And Aaron said, I want to do that. I only bring Kedusha down here, but I'm also the head of the Levium. Aaron HaKohen was the Nasi of Shevet Levi. He said, I want to have an Avodah for the Levium. And not only me, but my Shevet. What's my Shevet going to do? We have nothing that applies from down here going back up to Shemayim. What am I going to do to bring this back up to Shemayim? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? What did he tell him to do? Light the menorah. Why the menorah? Because even though it's private, the point is to light a candle. Flames start down here and go up. It goes from Eretz to Shemayim. It's the same service that the Levium do. That's what he was going to do over here. He's different from the other Kohanim, and the idea behind what he's trying to do is trying to show that even he can not only bring Kedusha down from Shemayim to the Eretz, but to bring the Kedusha back up to Shemayim, to bring us back up to Shemayim. And we all know what a candle represents, what a ner is supposed to be, the neshama. To make your neshama flicker and try to strive towards Shemayim, to try to go back up to Shemayim. That's what he's doing. When we're in Gullus, we're in a place that's called Gullus, as in the word Gullui, as in revealed, as in showing to everybody else that idea. The Satan tries to be Megala the Kedusha. All the holiness that we have, he tries to destroy by showing it to other people and saying, they don't have anything special. There's nothing great. There's nothing great about them more than anybody else. Tries to take the Gedolim and tries to bring it out in the news and see, look, these people are no more special than anybody else. That's why nowadays Kohanim can't do the Avodah. They need a special private place to do it where only they can do it, and they can do it in a private way. But they don't have that anymore, because everything's been gully. The stuff that makes everything been gully and destroys those private batim with the coin. So we don't have the Kedusha of the coin anymore. We only have the Kedusha of the Levi. So Aaron was told, don't worry. At the end of the day, a Levi, a man of inspiration, can still have work. He'll work even when the Beis Hamikdash is down. Even after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, the Levi still has work to do. Because he's got to bring the people up. There's not too many people who can do that. And Aaron was Zocha to be the only person to have both. To not only bring the Kedusha down like a Kohen, but to bring Kedusha back up. Bring our Neshamos as high up as they can possibly go, like a Levi. Not everybody was able to be so special. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be that way. Moshe Rabbeinu was too good for that. We'll see in a second. Later on in the Parsha, there's the famous Vayibin Soa Aaron. Everybody knows those backward nuns. The backward nuns. So the first thing you got to say in it, when it goes into these backward nuns at the end of Parak Yud, it says Va'anan Hashem Aleim Yomam Benasin. I'm sorry. It says Va'yisu Mehar Hashem. They traveled away from the mountain of God. Derech Shloshes Yamin. Va'arub Hashem Noseilef Neim. The Aaron traveled in front of them. Derech Shloshes Yamin Lasula and Menucha in order to find for them rest. They were traveling away from Har Sinai, and Chazal say they ran away from Har Sinai like a child running away from school, like when it's the end of June and the kid just wants to get out and he runs outside of school. That's how Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai. And then all of a sudden, these nunafuchos, backwards nuns, in the middle of nowhere, so to speak.
Were they wrong for running?
Yeah, and we have to understand why. But of course, you wouldn't run away. Running away from school is something that a little kid does. But if you're 100% right. But when it's a place that's as holy as Har Sinai, no matter where you're running to, you still think to yourself, should I run from it? It sounds like you're trying to get away as soon as possible. Well, you're right, Moshe. We have to understand what in the world is that? What did they do wrong? Then it says they even saw Aaron, and then all of a sudden, Vayom Kim is thrown in it, especially. Oh, very good. There's no Kiddush left, and yet it's called Mehar Hashem. We're going to get into all these things. But either way, and then it says Vayom Kim is thrown in it. Then all of a sudden, they were complaining. Rabbel's Hashem was evil in the eyes of God. Vayishma Hashem, Vayichar Apo Vatibra Bam Ish Hashem Vatohol Bixeh Machnez. There was a fire that went out at the edge of the camp. Okay, so two things. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mafrid bein ha-poranios, between the punishments. There was the punishment for Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they traveled away from the mountain of God. And then there was the Misonin, and they complained, and they immediately had a fire that went out among Klal Yisrael. Here's the question. I'm going to give you five questions right now. Number one, Is there any connection to the parsha that we have to be masik? What is traveling away from our Kadosh Baruch Hu lead to the mizonim? What does one have to do with the other? They complained. I understand that. But what does it have to do with running away from our Sinai? That's number one. That's the first question. Easy enough question to be able to answer. It seems like they're totally different chataim, totally different sins, totally different from one another. Number two, everywhere else, Har Sinai is never called Har Hashem. It's called Har Elokim. Not Har Hashem, Yudke Vavke, but Har Elokim. Why all of a sudden is it changed around to Har Hashem and it becomes a Har of Yudke Vavke instead of a Har Elokim? Number three, the Shechina was on Har Sinai until when? Until the Mishkan was made. But once the Mishkan was made, what happened to the Shechina? It went off and it went to the Mishkan. So it no longer was Har Hashem. If you wanted to go up on Har Sinai while the Shechina was there, it was Aser. But if the Shechina left, it was Mutter. At this point, if you wanted to go up on Har Sinai, look at what Aaron just said. If you wanted to go up on top of Har Sinai, there was no problem. There was no issue. You'd be allowed to go up now. So why are we calling it Har Hashem? They travel away from the Har of Hashem. It shouldn't be Har Hashem. It should be from Har Sinai. They travel away from Har Sinai. As you said, they're going to Eretz Yisrael. Number four, where's the onesh? Where's the punishment? By the Mizonim, it says, Yicharapo v'tibar bam eish Hashem. And then later on, when it says, he's Abu the Saksuf Hashem v'kirbam, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy them, he brought down the slug, there was a punishment that was given. Over here, there's no punishment. They traveled away. You wouldn't have even known it was a punishment until Rashi told you, oh, by the way, this is a bad thing. You would never realize. They traveled away from the mountain. What's the problem? Why is that a punishment? And where is the onesh? And we have to be mafsik between those onshim? Since we got, what in the world's going on? Classic answer. You ever go to the Kotel or see a guy go to the Kotel for the first time? He expects to have the biggest revelation in the world. He expects to go to the Kotel and expects the biggest thing to happen. He expects to go up there and all of a sudden be so affected. He'll be like, oh, God is right here with me. God is right here with me. And when he gets there, he's disappointed. His life is just a big wall.
The, like, the, whole thing,
the girls, yeah, is another issue. Well, life is just a wall.
I'm saying it all night.
You expect to go there, to cry, to be affected, to see something, and to be like, oh my gosh, this is the Kotel, the last remnant, the last vestige that we have of the Beis HaMikdash. This is all we have. And they make it into such a big thing, and everybody, you know the stories. You've read all the stories of this guy went to the Kotel, all of a sudden he was from for the rest of his life. This guy went to the Kotel, his name is Rebel Yashin. This person went, and you hear of all these stories of like one after the other, where everybody's affected, and then all of a sudden you go there, and you sit there and you're like, I don't know, it's a wall. I mean, it's a nice wall. They made it look really nice. They got grass things growing out of it. And there's a lot of people there. And you're sitting there and you're saying, what am I missing? What am I missing? And there are people there crying their hearts out. Crying like crazy. Like, mamish, tears coming down from their eyes. People begging at Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're wailing from the woman section. And you're sitting there like, all right. And you can barely get a Shira Malas out of you.
Or you're on the phone.
Can't even say anything. You're on the phone.
You see me?
You read all these things and you stay indifferent. Can you imagine? You're saying Kriya Shema every single day. And you get to the part of V'ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha. And you will love Hashem your God. And you're sitting there like, do I really love God? And you're not so sure. You're like, I guess so. I mean, if I have to. I don't know, is it really a love? I think it's more of a like-like. How far did it go? You know, and that's it. Like, when it comes to that, can you, a person who's sitting there, and he's saying, and you will love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everybody else is saying this, and other people seem to be affected by it, and you're not. You're not. You don't get anything. Says Rav Schwab, that's the worst onish you can possibly imagine in the history of mankind. For everyone else to be affected, for everyone else to realize what's going on, and you have no clue. You have no idea. You just ignore it. The greatest thing in the world is happening. You have a shir that's being given by the greatest Rav of all time. Greatest Rav of all time. The Rav is sitting there and he's standing over shir and you see guys there like laughing in the words like, yeah, yeah, like sitting like that. And you're sitting there like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like, what do you guys see that I don't? You're the fool. You're the guy that's going against the tide. You're the guy who's mamish in the middle of nowhere. That is the greatest punishment, to be that guy in Olam Haba who just doesn't get it. You're sitting in the shir, and everybody else is sitting there like, oh, they got their thumbs moving. And you can't even get it out of your hand. You can't even move that thumb. There's no greater onus. When they left Har Sinai, they should have had the greatest pain of all time. They should have sat there and they should have said to themselves, this was Har Sinai. We got the Torah here. We should never want to leave. We should feel connection. We had the only time that Klal Yisrael has ever had, and maybe will ever have, a complete revelation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, where everyone talked to God, and God talked to them. It will never happen again, and it had never happened before then. Even at Kriyas Yamshuk, they saw something, but they never had a revelation like it was. A Nebuah that went for all of Klal Yisrael, where God spoke to them, nobody will ever have that again. That place should have been the most holy place in the world. Can you imagine? We don't even know where it is now. We don't even know where it is. We have no idea. We say that it's this place or that place, but we have no clue.
But it's not holy.
That's the pshat. What do you mean it's not holy? A place where you talk to God should be the holiest place of all time. Forget about the Shekhinah itself leaving. That should be a place. If I met my wife in a certain place, the first time I've ever met her, that place holds a place. It's something for me. Every time I pass by there, I'll say, that's where I met your mother.
That's a movie, that's a TV show, isn't it?
Ah, very good. I didn't catch that until I actually said it. And I'm like, didn't somebody just tell me about that? That's exactly what happened over there.
And then you watch
you
it.
Would say, I wish I had. I'm just not into this TV anymore.
What?
It's a how. Ah, there we go. Okay, we're a little bit different. They left without realizing what they were leaving. They left it by Yisumei Hashem. They traveled away from a Har Hashem. It's not just a Har Elokim where they feared God and everything. It's the place where you met HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you met Yud Kei Vav Kei, where you're never going to have a revelation like that ever in your life. And you got nothing. You left it as if like just running away, just like, okay, it's not a big deal to me. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do you mean it's not a big deal to you? It's a big deal to me. I may have left my Shekhinah and put it on the Mishkan itself. That doesn't mean that the Har itself doesn't retain some vestige of Kedusha. Some little bit of where I'm saying this is a special mountain. And you guys, you just run away from it? It's like a guy going to a Gadol B'Yisrael and not getting anything out of it. Take a guy to Rabbi Nedavid Chaya Bukhatera, or to Rebel Yashiv, or to Rav Chaim Arulid Shimon, or Rav Chaim Knievsky. I mean, the guy to come out and be the exact same person he was before. He's a great guy, older, you know, old man. Good person. And just say that when he's done, he's just done. What do you mean? Do you honestly think that that's it? That you go to a gadol and that's it? All you can say is good guy, nice guy? There's no greater punishment than missing out on everything. Missing out on the point of having such a person in this world. What we can gain out of just looking at such a person. And you didn't get it. You just ran away. There's a maisa that's brought down by a Tana by the name of Rebbe Eliezer ben Dordaya. It's brought down in Avodah Zarah in the first parak. Unbelievable maisa. Rebbe Eliezer ben Dordaya was a man who was into every zona that he could find. Every zona that he could find. Wherever he went, he would look for a zona and he would pay any amount of money. He was by a certain zona that cost an extreme amount of money. No, that's the Gemara Menachos. He was by a zona that cost a certain amount of money, and it's a very strange thing. It's mamish, like, it's almost like a joke. He'll schok the. That it's mamish, nothing. So the girl said that she passed gas. And she said, just like this gas will never come back, so too Eliezer ben Dordaya will never join Klal Yisrael again. Will never be part of Klal Yisrael. So Eliezer ben Dordaya immediately stopped, and he said, I can't believe this. And the Gemara goes down that he goes to Eretz v'Shamayim and says, please daven for me. And Eretz v'Shamayim says, we can't daven for you. He goes to the Har HaMikvos and says, please daven for me. To the Yamim and the Haros. He goes to all these inanimate objects. He says, please daven for me. Please daven for me. Please daven for me. And each one says, no, we can't. And Eliezer ben Dordaya says, it's on me to do it. And he made a contraption that was could do all Arba Mises Beis. Apparently, he was high of all four Mises Beis in. And he made a contraption that was high, he would be able to do all four at the exact same time. He killed himself with all four, Srefa, Skila, Herig, and Chenek. Did this thing together, and a bas kol came out from Shemayim, and says, Rebbe Eliezer ben Dordaya, Rebbe Eliezer. This guy was a Russia gummer. He became Rebbe Eliezer ben Dordaya, Mizumin Lechai Olam Haba, is ready to become, to go into the world of Olam Haba. So the Gemara says there, Bachar Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi cried at that moment. And he said, Yesh Kona Olam Haba Shah Achas. A person can get all of Olam Haba in just 1 hour. One little deed that he does, he can get Olam Haba in just 1 hour. One little thing. That's what Rebbe Yehuda Nasi said. Listen to this line. That's where Tzadok HaKohen, what in the world did Rebbe mean? Wait, he didn't know this? He had no idea that doing tshuva at the end of your life could bring you into Olam Haba? Rebbe cried. And he looked at Rebbe Eliezer ben Dordaya and said, he's missing everything. He lost out on everything. Now that he did Tshuva Gemura, he could have lived an unbelievable life doing Tshuva, learning Torah, and doing Ma'asim Tovim, which is the ikar behind every life. This guy was killed or died too early to enjoy any of that. So he goes to Shemayim, and he hears everybody say, man, I love doing those mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh. Man, Torah was unbelievable in Olam Hazeh. They hear them talking about what's happening in Olam Haba, and they say that it's nothing like what we were able to do in Olam Hazeh. And Elzer ben Derdaya wasn't able to do anything. Says Rebbe, such a person, he's not going to accomplish Olam Hazeh, he's just going to get Olam Haba in a second? He's not going to have any pleasure from Olam Hazeh? That person, he cried for him. How could such a person live? How could there be such a person in this world? He looked at him and he said, he lost out on everything. It's like he went to a gadol and didn't get it. He went to the kotel and didn't get it. You know what Chazal say about what's going to happen to Masud Lava? There's going to be unbelievable miracles happening. Unbelievable miracles. The tzaddikim will see them as miracles. And the rishayim will just think of them as regular natural occurrences. I don't know if that means that a hurricane will happen and people will say, like, oh my, the tzaddikim will realize how big of an ace that was. Or if there's some type of other thing. I have no idea what that means. But what that means is that tzaddikim are on a higher level because they realize something while the other people don't. They just don't. Oh, that's like what I'm missing. When a person comes up to me and says, I'm bored with Gemara, and I look at them and I say, are you joking? Are you joking? How could you be bored? What is there to be bored about? You're not learning. And I'm sorry, but you're not learning. If you could ever be bored with a piece of Gemara, any Gemara out there, the most boring Gemara in the world, so to speak, if you know what you're doing, it's not boring. I'm sorry that you don't get it. I'm sorry. That's Rav Shach's line to Reichman, the famous line when Reichman came up to him and said, which one of us is going to have a bigger chelik in Olam Haba? Because Rav Shach, for all the Torah that he learned, and Reichman for all the money that he gave, Rav Shach said, bigger chelik, and they say the story similar to what Ravon Cutler said, bigger chelik in Olam Haba. I have no idea. I don't know if I'm going to Olam Haba. I don't know what's going to be in Olam Haba. But in Olam Hazeh, I kill you. In Olam Hazeh, there's nothing compared to the two of us. You in business and me in learning, I got Olam Hazeh. That's what he told over to Reichman. What does that mean? Honestly, just what does that mean? What does it mean I get Olam Hazeh? What does that mean? It means because there's something that other people are just missing. You just don't get it. You just don't have it. And if you don't have it, then you can't explain it over to somebody. I can't go up to somebody and explain why a Gemara is unbelievable. All I can say is, it is. You have to trust me and just keep doing it until it works. That's all I can tell you. I can't do anything more than that. That's the idea, says Rav Schwab. The idea behind this punishment was the worst punishment of all time. But Yisrael Hashem, it's a punishment of, you just didn't even realize, you just went away. Just walked away. As if it was nothing. You didn't realize what kind of a makom you just left from. What kind of a place you were just in. The Misonimim, those that complained, they got a real punishment. They had a fire go on them. It destroyed part of the machne. Something actually happened. That's a real punishment. That's a pure onish. Something that we can see. You got to be makom between the two. Between a plague or a fire and the entire idea of an onish in which you don't even realize that it's an onish. A non-realization or a non-inspiration. It's just totally different. So why didn't they realize it? Now you have to ask, so why didn't they realize it? This is Klal Yisrael, this is Dor Dea. These are the greatest people to have ever lived in the history of the Jews. There is no greater neshamos, no greater people than the people that lived in that generation that got the Torah at Har Sinai. No one, absolutely no one. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he's on the plane and he saw that guy, and the guy went up to him and he said that he was apparently, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky was being served by his grandson. He kept coming up to him, do you want anything more, Zadie? Can I give you anything more, Zadie? Is there anything else I can need? And the guy who was with him was a high-ranking government official in Eretz Yisrael. I said to him, I don't understand, your grandson is all over you. Me, I give my grandsons everything they want in this world, and yet they don't come anywhere near me. Kamenetsky looked at him and said, we teach each other, our grandsons, the opposite. I teach my grandson that the closer you are to Har Sinai, the greater you are. So I'm closer to Har Sinai than they are, so I'm greater than them. You teach your kids that you come from monkeys. So the older you are, the closer you are to a monkey. So of course they're not going to respect you. You're just a higher form of a chimpanzee. It is a greater chimpanzee to them. So why would they respect you? The famous line, because Pshat is that these people are beyond anything that you can imagine. There's nothing like Dor Dea. Nothing like Dor Dea. It went up to Dor Dea and it went down after Dor Dea. Dor Dea is the best out there. There's nothing like them. At the end of the Parsha, Aaron and Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. al odos isha kushis eshalokach, for that the woman that he took, whether it was Sipora or a different isha kushis or something, we don't know what that is exactly, but for something that happened over there. They realize, says the Tzvar Shlomo, that what happened over here when they had a taiva, it says, Hisavu taiva yashuva v'yivku gam b'nei sova yomer miyach alinu balsu, who's going to give us meat? They were tired of the mud. They said, who's going to give us meat? We want meat, and they couldn't take it. Rashi says, they were bocha lemishpachosav. They were crying by their families, crying to their families about what they wanted to eat and what they could have. Rashi says, bocha lemishpachosav refers to the fact that they were saying, we can no longer be together with certain arayas. Certain women that we were able to be together with before, B'nai Noach are only us or two sisters from the same mother, Ashes Ish, and their daughters. No one else are they us or two. They're mutter to any other one of their arayas. We can't marry our aunts. They can't marry our this and that and the other. We can't marry these people. How come we can't be with them? They complained about that. That's just a tough. How in the world could B'nai Yisrael complain about arayas? What were they worried? I can't marry my aunt? Is that really a problem? I can't marry my certain type of a cousin I'm not allowed to marry? Is that really an issue? Like, what was the problem that they're saying? Like, oh, here it is. This is it. And this is the problem. It's strange. It's very, very strange. The answer is the following. The leader of Klal Yisrael, the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, represents the entire nation. The entire nation. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu led the entire nation and represented the entire nation. If Moshe Rabbeinu had a chisaron, if he was lacking in something, then B'nai Yisrael was lacking in something. And vice versa. If B'nai Yisrael have a certain chait, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu must have something to do with that chait. So if B'nai Yisrael are complaining about Arias, says Moshe now, what does that tell you? Must mean that what? That Moshe Rabbeinu must also have a problem with Arias. So he started talking about his relationship with his wife. And they started saying, it must be that since he's separated from her, there's a bit of a taiva within Moshe Rabbeinu, and that taiva was exasperated when it got to B'nai Yisrael, to the point where all of B'nai Yisrael sat there and said, oy vey, we want to rise. That must be what happened. They were right in how they were learning up the sugya. But Lamaisa was Lashon Hara, and they were dead wrong about Moshe Rabbeinu. Dead wrong about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, Akash Baruch Hu told them, absolutely not. That's not pshat. Moshe is so great, is on such a high level, that he has no taivas anymore. He has no desire for chons. There's no desire for his wife, even. He has no desire for anything gashmi in this world. If you would go up to him and be like, come on, you want this chon. You know it's good. You know you want to get this chon. He'll sit there and be like, no. I don't have any desire for it. You show him the most beautiful person in the world, the most beautiful woman, unbelievably beautiful. Say, she's a cockroach to me. She mamish means nothing to me. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was like. But in order to try to be like that person, you have to want to be like that person. You have to try to be like that person. You have to have some sort of a connection with that. And B'nai Yisrael weren't roi to be under that shlita. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu was so great, was so holy, so special with everything that he had, it wasn't able to bring itself down to Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael didn't deserve to have it. Why didn't they deserve to have it? What did they complain about? What did they complain about having? The mun. Who gave them the mun? In whose schutz was the mun? Moshe Rabbeinu's. The one thing that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them, the mun. And why the mun? Because the mun had no taiva in it. The mun, there was no taiva for such a food. There was no desire. There was no physical, normal, gashmi part to the mun. It was pure ruchni. Such an object, such a thing that you sit there and look at, this thing is not, it's just pure, pure ruchni. Such a thing Moshe Rabbeinu gave them, they rejected it and say they want taivas. Said the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you want taivas? I'll give you taivas. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the taiva that Moshe Rabbeinu could have had but didn't have. He didn't have a taiva for food. He gave them the mun. He didn't have a taiva for woman. He separated from Sipora. He gave them that taiva. Aside from the fact that food and that mun, yes, there's other connections between food and that area of your body. Two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, but only one mouth. There's another head on the bottom of your body, and there's a connection between them. The more of a taivas achila that you have, the more of a taivas amishkal you have. The more of a taiva, the mishkal. The more you're able to control your eating habits, the more you're able to control that taiva that's down there. Moshe Rabbeinu was perfection when it came to those two things. It took him a while to get there, but perfection, he was the man. No taivas at all. Bnei Yisrael wanted to be on that level, so you got to try a little bit. You got to try. It's a muscle to a congregant who brings his daughter to the rabbi. You've heard of this before, and it's just a crazy concept. Where a congregant brings his daughter to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, you got to help me. My daughter wants to marry a goy. You got to help me. She can't marry a goy. So the rabbi brings in the daughter and says, I'll do what I can. Says that he looks over at the girl and he says, you know, why do you want to marry the goy? She tells him, you know, he's very nice, he's this, and we love each other, etc. The rabbi turns out he does everything he can, but at the end of the day, the daughter's not convinced. So the congregant, who's a powerful guy, looks at the rabbi and says, what do I pay you for? I pay you to make sure that this doesn't happen. Says the rabbi, looks at him and he says, no. Every single Shabbos, you go home and you complain about this about me. And you complain about that about me. My speech was too long. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to ask a shiloh to the rabbi. You know, all of a sudden you want me to save your daughter? I can't save your daughter. She's already been, she looks down at me so much from what you've said. There's nothing I can do now. It's too late. It's like when Moshe Rabbeinu, you look at Moshe Rabbeinu and you say, Moshe Rabbeinu, save us. We don't want to have these taivas. You just rejected my mon. You just rejected that. You want me to get rid of all the other taivas that you have? You have to have the mon in order to get rid of those taivas. If you can't do that, there's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. Miriam and Aaron understood this. At the end of the parsha, when Miriam looks at when Aaron looks at Miriam and Miriam has Sarat, one of the strangest psukim in the entire Torah is said over by Aaron. Aaron looks over at Miriam and he sees that she has Sarat. And it says the following, Vayomar Aaron Moshe, Pi Adoni, please my master, don't allow this sin to be upon us, which we've been foolish about, not which we've sinned. Listen to this line, Al Nosihi Kames, don't let it be like a dead person. I should say so Merechem Imo, that when he comes out from the womb of his mother, Vayochel Chatzi Bisaro, he will consume half of his flesh. Any idea what that pasuk is doing there? This is not a time for Michelle. You know, like going up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, heal Miriam. Go heal Miriam. Go do it as quickly as possible. And he says a 5-word tefillah. Kel na refun na la. Right? And what did Aaron do? He gives a speech. Please, oh Moshe Rabbeinu. Please save him. It's a muscle. What do you mean a muscle? She's sick. She needs to be healed. There's no reason to say anything else. She's a sick person. That's it. Period. But no, he says, I'll give you a muscle. It's like a baby inside the mother's womb that dies. You have to take out the baby or it may injure the mother. Shkoyach, great muscle, but totally unnecessary. What in the world is he trying to say? Because the pshat is, Moshe, you know, I'll tell you why you got to do it now and you can't wait even a second. Because just like you're the leader for all of Klal Yisrael and you're mashpiyat to Klal Yisrael, all good things, you gave us the mon, Miriam gave us the be'er. And Miriam's in charge of all the women. If Miriam's down, all the women are down. If Miriam has Saras, then all the women are on the level as if they have Saras. The tumah that Miriam has applies to the rest of the women. To where all the women can become Tameh. All the women will have bad thoughts inside their head because Miriam's down. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to save her now. So don't wait 5 seconds from now. Don't give a long tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu, you got to do it right now as soon as possible because it's going to be like a dead body inside. What's the dead body? The dead body is the hashpah that Miriam had that's inside the body of every Jewish woman that Miriam was able to be mashpia. And if it's a dead body inside there, meaning it's something that's tummy with saras, then they're going to become more gashmi, they're going to become more tummy, and the whole world is going to go crazy because the woman will be down, the men are going to go down with it, and everything will be down. So you have to save Miriam now. Do something right now to make sure that Miriam is tohor, so that she must be a good things in Klai. So Moshe Rabbeinu agreed and said, Kel na refun na la, and immediately saved Miriam. They understood this. They understood this whole concept of a leader being mashpia for the entire people. So we're going to end with this. Says Rav Schwab, that's exactly what Bnei Yisrael was crying about. It's exactly what they were crying about in the first place. Let's go through. There's two different avodas. The way of the Shekhinah, bringing the Shekhinah down to us, which is a Kohen, and bringing us back up to the Shekhinah, which is a Levi. Bnei Yisrael ran away. They ran away. So they didn't have such hashpah. They didn't get that hashpah that went from the Shekhinah down to them or from them back up to Shemayim. They complained about these crazy things. What happened? Why did that happen? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was too much for them. This is what Rav Schwab is going to talk about right now. It says Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand what a taiva was. If you have a problem with a very low level chait, let's just say I have a problem in wearing shatnez. I have an issue. You know, I like wearing shatnez. I don't know why, I just like wearing shatnez. I'm not going to go to a gadol. The gadol doesn't understand where I'm coming from. He has no idea what it's like. I go up to him and I say, I have a taiva to wear shatnez. So say to me, why? Why would you have that taiva? He doesn't even know where I'm coming from. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. If I go up to a certain gadol who's never had a McDonald's burger or a cheeseburger in his life, and I say, I really want to have a McDonald's cheeseburger. I really have a taiva for a McDonald's cheeseburger. So he's going to look at me and be like, why? It's disgusting. It tastes rancid. It looks rancid. It looks disgusting. Why would you want to put milk and meat together? He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. Because he's never been there. He can tell you the halacha. He can tell you what the Musar Svarim say. But he's never been there. The most effective person is a person who's been there, done that, and said no. You go up to a guy who's eaten from that cheeseburger before and said, absolutely, I'm never going to eat from it ever again. You go up to him and say, why not? I want to have that cheeseburger. Why can't you? Now, if you're a very high-level Jew, then yes, you can go to Moshe Rabbeinu for everything. But if you're a low-level Jew and you have certain questions, like high-level and low-level as being simple chatoyim, which you know we shouldn't have, but we have anyway, meaning eating a cheeseburger, eating treif, or doing things that we know we shouldn't do, you're not going to go to a gadol. You can't relate to the gadol. And that's how Klal Yisrael felt about Moshe Rabbeinu. They felt that Moshe Rabbeinu was too much. The guy didn't have any taivas. He gave us this mun. He doesn't understand where we're coming from. He doesn't get us. I can't eat this mun. I want the taste of a good cholent. I want the taste of a good steak. And not just the taste of the steak. I want to feel the steak going through my body. I want to feel the cholent going through my veins. I want to hook myself up to cholent. That's what I want to do. I want to feel it throughout my entire body, not just stop to go ahead and have the taste in my mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu thought, what do you need? You have a little bit of a taiva, you have a taste that's good enough. Said Klal Yisrael, no, we got to see it in front of us. He doesn't get it, said Klal Yisrael. If they would have lifted themselves up just a little bit, Moshe Rabbeinu could have brought them up to Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu could have raised them up to an unbelievably high level. But they didn't want to, and therefore Moshe couldn't. There was nothing he could do. They started having crazy taivas, because once you start having taivas, then it starts going down and down and down, till finally you get to Arias. Arias. All the crazies. I want to marry my aunt. I want to marry my sister from my father's side. I want to marry my daughter, my granddaughter. Sick Arias. But once you start off with that taiva, it just keeps going and going and going and going. And they said, who are we getting a chizuk from? From Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there. Says the pasuk, what has God asked for you, Kim Liyira? He just asked for you to fear God. That's all God wants from you. Says the Gemara, Atu Yira Milsus you trust me? You think fear is such an easy thing to do? Because it's in Lagabi Moshe. For Moshe, I mean, it was so easy. He looked at it and said, it's Pashit. All you got to do is have fear for God. Just be afraid of Him. For me, fear God. Why? What? How am I going to do that? It just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. And because of that, they couldn't get everything that they wanted out of it. They couldn't get everything that they possibly wanted, and it was a problem. It was a major problem for Klal Yisrael. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to punish them and show them through Miriam. Here's a mashpia. And if you want to get with the mashpia, you have to learn under him and be willing to learn under him. And put yourself right underneath him. For that first year was very hard for Bnei Yisrael to do. And they messed up a lot. Here with the Isabu Taiva, with the Asapsu Bashir Bakirim, with the Meraglim, with Parshas Korah. They messed up a lot. But after that 39 years, they did it. And they went into Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's not one chait that Klal Yisrael did. All they did was learn all day long, eat the mun, and drink from Be'er Shomirim. No taivas. That was the level of Bnei Yisrael were on, because they were mevatel themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's it, guys. We'll stop with that. But that's the idea of what you're supposed to do. It's just a sad predicament. We could go to a gadol and get nothing out of it. I don't think there could be anything scarier. We'll stop with that. Have a good job.